It is 6 minutes past the hour. Welcome to Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents a distinguished doctor, great guest, Dr. Mohammad Raza. Dr. Raza is an interventional cardiologist. We'll get into all of his titles within Deborah Heart and Lung Center and the great work that he does. He is board certified in cardiovascular disease and interventional cardiology. Dr. Raza completed a residency in internal medicine at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is very smoky today, doctor. Whew. I saw a picture 5 minutes ago. It's unbelievable with the Canadian wildfire smoke. Dr. Raza completed a fellowship in cardiology and interventional cardiology at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Raza has extensive experience in the field of interventional cardiology, prime focus on structural heart disease interventions. His special interests include interventional cardiology, valvular heart disease, adult congenital heart disease, complex coronary interventions, and peripheral vascular disease. He's authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed journals. He is a featured speaker at regional and national professional society meetings, and he is the director of structural heart programming at Deborah Heart and Lung Center and the director of the Interventional Cardiology Fellowship Program. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Raza to his program. Doctor, not a minute too soon. This is a really important topic. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry, and good morning to everyone.
So good to be with you. Let's not bury the lead. Let's get right to it. What is coronary artery disease?
So, great question, Harry. To understand coronary disease, we have to step back and understand how our heart functions in our bodies. So, the role of the heart is to pump blood in the body. And as you all know, that blood carries oxygen and nutrition. And for tissues to stay alive, they need oxygen and nutrition. So heart has a vital role pumping blood day and night, whether we are resting, walking, exercising, sleeping. The heart is doing its job to supply blood to the entire body. So heart is pumping, and heart has four chambers, two upper and two lower chambers. And the left lower chamber of the heart is the main pumping chamber of the heart. It's called left ventricle. So whenever we refer to heart function, we usually refer to the left bottom chamber of the heart. So if we say the heart is strong, the function is normal, that usually means the left bottom chamber of the heart is functioning normally. And when we say that the heart is failing or heart is function is compromised, it refers to the left bottom chamber of the heart being not able to function normally. So for heart itself to function, just like rest of the organs in the body, it requires oxygen and blood. And that oxygen and blood is carried by blood vessels supplying the heart muscle called coronary arteries. And these coronary arteries normally should have no blockages or narrowing. But when there is narrowing of the coronary arteries and because of the plaque buildup, then we call that as a coronary artery disease. That condition is labeled as coronary artery disease. Essentially, it's the plaque buildup in the blood vessels supplying the heart muscles, the coronary arteries, and then in turn, we label as coronary disease. Excuse me. It looks like this smog is getting to me.
Oh, there's no question. It's terrible.
Yeah.
We are visiting. Go ahead. Were you finishing? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm finished with the first question, what coronary disease is. So essentially, when there is a narrowing of the coronary arteries, you can imagine now the blood going to the heart muscle is going to be compromised. And there's going to be consequences of that, and we can obviously dive deeper into that.
I want to make this a separate question, even though I think a lot of this you just did talk about, but maybe not all the different forms. So this gives you an opportunity, if there was something more you wanted to say on this, what are the forms of coronary artery disease? In other words, is there more than one?
There are more than one. The most common one is the cholesterol built up. We call that a plaque built up. So essentially what happens is that plaque gets into the wall of the blood vessel and then continues to deposit there. And then when there is a cholesterol deposition, it attracts other things like calcium some free radicals and other bad stuff, and that continues to pile up under the wall of the blood vessel, and that in turn narrows the blood vessel, and that limits or restricts the blood flow going to the heart muscle. That is the most common form of coronary disease. We call it atherosclerotic coronary disease. In general, when we refer to CAD or coronary disease, that's what we mean. Other forms of coronary disease are maybe there is a tear in the blood vessels of the heart, blood vessels, and that's called coronary artery dissection. Happens more often in people who are younger, mostly in women. Then there are other forms of coronary disease, for example, inflammation from infections, or some autoimmune disorders, happens mostly in younger population and even children. That could be another form of coronary disease. But vast majority of patients who have coronary disease, they have atherosclerotic coronary disease, which means the plaque buildup or cholesterol deposition.
You are listening to the distinguished doctor, Dr. Mohammad Raza, interventional cardiologist, and all the director titles that I mentioned in his important realm at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is the official and exclusive hospital, and in terms of all the different things that they do, from what we're talking about today, which obviously is an extremely important topic, but all the different things that they do at Deborah, including the sleep diagnostic and everything they do relative to the heart, the lungs, just fantastic at what they do. And today we're talking coronary artery disease with Dr. Raza. My next question for you, doctor, is how common is this? And is there a discernible difference in terms of it affecting women and men?
So in regards to your first question, Harry, how common it is actually one of the most common diseases we get as adults. So I would say if you look at the cause of death in adult population in this country, even globally, coronary disease is one of the most common. So it's very common disease, especially in men above age of 40 and women in general above the age of 50 or 55, coronary disease is very common. In regards to differences between men and women, it's, during early age for women, because of the hormones, there's some protection, and women tend to get coronary disease more often after menopause, whereas men tend to get coronary disease by the age 40 and onwards. But after menopause, women catch up with men in regards to the prevalence of coronary disease. So there are some differences. Now, this is obviously in general. So if a man or women have a family history of coronary disease, or they have risk factors, we'll talk about in a bit, then obviously they need to be checked early, and that this usual rule doesn't apply that it happens in women later, then the risk factors and the family history trumps everything else. But in general, women tend to have coronary disease a little bit later than men. What was the other question, Harry?
The follow-up to it was, does it present discernibly different in terms of men or women?
Yes. So that's a great question, and I'm sure it's on many people's minds. In men, it tends to present more typically, which means that patients, when they have significant coronary disease, they have chest discomfort, pressure, the discomfort or chest pain then radiates to the arm or to the jaw. We call that angina. This is more common in men. In women, it tends to happen more atypically, which means that the symptoms are not classic. So unfortunately, because the symptoms are not classic, they could be labeled as something else, muscle ache and pain. It may be labeled as heartburn and may get missed or ignored. So in women, that happens more often than in men, atypical presentation of coronary disease. So one has to be mindful of that. And we as health professionals are very careful when we are assessing women. We do deep dive into the symptoms to make sure we're not missing it.
We are taking our one and only break that we take during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. And today it is distinguished Dr. Mohammad Raza, interventional cardiologist. And I mentioned his leadership positions, director of structural heart programming, and also the director of the interventional cardiology fellowship program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Important to report, Deborah Heart and Lung Center, not only are they awesome, but they are accepting new patients. You can call 609-621-2080. It's also very simple on your digital device, any digital device, a smartphone, laptop, desktop, iPad, whatever. If you go to demanddebora.com, you can do the same thing. There's a hyperlink right there in terms of scheduling an appointment. And so if you prefer to call, you can call 609-621-2080, or you can go to the website, demanddebora.com. We'll be back with Dr. Raza. It's 18 minutes past the hour. Much more important content on today's topic, which is coronary artery disease, on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Visiting with Dr. Raza on today's important topic, Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Dr. Raza, and a discussion about coronary artery disease. Dr. Raza, does coronary artery disease increase as we age?
Yes, unfortunately, and that's the one of the common risk factor, as I mentioned, is when you get senior in life, that is more often when you present with coronary disease. So aging and coronary disease, you know, go hand in hand, unfortunately.
Yeah, I as a layperson, I would have guessed it, but I wanted to pose it to you, the expert, Dr. Raza, because it just stands to reason that nothing seems to get better the further you go along with something. It seems to, especially if you don't address it. How does coronary artery disease affect the body? What should people know about this?
So, coming back to our basics as we discussed early on, the heart needs oxygen and blood to function, and the job of the heart in the body is the vital one, to pump blood to rest of the body so our body can function. If heart itself is not getting enough oxygen blood because of the narrowing of the blood vessels or coronary arteries, then heart cannot function. So first thing what happens is when the coronary artery gets too much narrowed, we call it when it's about 70% narrowed, then that means it starts to compromise blood supply to the heart muscle. And then when people, mostly when they're exerting, their heart needs more blood flow, more oxygen, and that narrowing is not going to let the blood go to the degree of its demand. And that's when people have a supply-demand mismatch, we call it, and that presents as chest discomfort, chest pressure, chest pain, radiating to the arm or the jaw or to the back. And in women, it could be atypical, as I mentioned. It could be more of a heartburn kind of symptoms or shortness of breath sometimes. So there is very, very variable way patients present. Somebody may be coming in more with shortness of breath. Somebody may be coming in more with chest discomfort. The most common one, obviously, is the chest discomfort or chest pain. So that is mostly when patients are early in their disease spectrum. But when the disease progresses, and unfortunately, if they progress to the point where the blood flow to the heart muscle is significantly impaired, that heart muscle starts to die. We call that a heart attack or acute myocardial infarction. That is more of an emergency. So what that means is if a patient is having chest discomfort even sitting around, that is more critical situation, and that's usually when the heart attack is happening, and that needs an urgent and emergent attention and going to the emergency room and getting checked and see if the blockage has gotten to the point that we need to rush in to open that up to save the heart muscle. So it could be early on when it's mostly exertional chest discomfort, and then it can progress to rest symptoms or cause heart attack. And when the heart attack, you know, sets in, and if it's not fixed early on, then the heart muscle will be weak. And when the heart muscle is weak, as you know, the job of the heart is to pump blood. The heart cannot play that role well. So then people will go into heart failure, which means they will build up fluid in their body, and they will be more often short of breath. So the spectrum of disease ranges from having just symptoms or early symptoms or warning symptoms of coronary disease, which is chest pain or chest discomfort, and then progressing to heart attack, and then progressing to, unfortunately, heart failure.
Mm, wow. All the reason why early intervention is so important. Dr. Raza on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents today, and the topic is coronary artery disease. I, as a layperson, think this is true. You're going to tell me if this is true. Wild card question. I think I've addressed this over the years. Are men more likely to come and get help than women?
Unfortunately, that is true. Although this has improved with the job you are doing to educate the community and make people aware, so a few things can happen. So first of all, this, as we discussed, happens more often when you get senior in life. And very often, what happens is when you have symptoms, you attribute to your aging process. You say, well, this is just my getting older. And that is, you know, ignoring symptoms, unfortunately, or ignoring the disease or warning signs. So that shouldn't happen. And obviously, on the same lines, getting more awareness out and making sure that people get attention early on and not diagnose themselves. And in particular, in this day and age, when people are on social media and everybody's trying to, search on their own to see what they should do, it could be easily missed and progress to a later stage where, reversing that heart damage will be impossible. So I think having more awareness, and that has helped a lot for men and women both to get attention early on. Whereas in the past, without, the positive things of social media and communication, the decreasing communication gaps have improved awareness among the population. And we have seen that people now get attention early on than later.
I mean, imagine you could be the difference between getting early intervention, early treatment, and not having necessarily to get to the stage of heart failure and then everything that comes along with allowing something to degrade. So such important content from Dr. Raza. A reminder, Deborah Heart and Lung Center, they are accepting new patients. You can call 609-621-2080 or on the web. You can do so digitally as well. Request an appointment at demanddeborah.org. Deborah Heart and Lung Center, really the home of many, many new treatments, new equipment that they have, such as the brand new large bore MRI machine that's now open. This is full body scanning with pinpoint accuracy. Not that you have to admit, but I'm going to just use a corny cliche. You have to admit, Dr. Raza, the technology, the advancements are extraordinary, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. So how do you were spot on pointing that, get early attention, yeah, so that you don't get to the later stages of the disease when it's much harder to fix. In fact, as people know, prevention is better than cure. Mm. So I would even start even before that if somebody has risk factors for coronary disease, for example, their parents had heart attack or stents, or their first degree relatives have that disease, they should seek early attention. Same way, if they have risk factors for coronary disease, for example, they are high blood pressure, they are obese, they are are a smoker, they have diabetes mellitus, the big one, you know, diabetes, we call it coronary artery disease equivalent, because we should treat those patients as they already have coronary disease. That's so important. So if you have these, and hypercholesterolemia, obviously, if you have these risk factors or family history, we encourage that you get attention early on and prevent the disease or prevent a bad event like heart attack or chest discomfort. So what we have been doing is that we have been educating patients' family members. So, let's say somebody who comes in with a heart attack and is 65 or 70 years old, we take care of that patient, but we also pay attention to the family and siblings and their children. And we say, you know, get your children's cholesterol checked. Make sure they are seeing a doctor in a timely fashion so we can prevent this disease from happening in them or getting to this degree where we have to do the stents and other more invasive procedures. In regards to the technology, it's absolutely has come a long way. So not only preventing the disease, so now we have different tests we can do to detect coronary disease very early on. Coronary calcium score is a perfect example. If you have risk factors and you are on the fence, should you get on statins to lower your cholesterol, how aggressive you should modify your lifestyle, what kind of food you be eating, you can get a coronary calcium score, and that will detect any calcium buildup in the blood vessels of the heart or coronary arteries. And that if there is any calcium, that means you already have coronary artery disease. And now you have to be more aggressive. Now you're more convinced that you already have a disease. You have to be more proactive to prevent a further event. So technology has made a huge impact in not just treating, but preventing the coronary disease from getting more advanced. In regards to treating coronary disease, you know, we have in this day and age, we have state-of-the-art equipment. You know, there are more advanced softwares helping in managing the blockages in the heart. We in this day and age, we do, I would say, 99% or 95% radial heart catheterization, which is like 2 millimeter incision in the wrist area, and we fix the coronary arteries. You know, patients goes home same day, a few hours later, walking around. And that technology has allowed us to get to this level. And without technology, I agree with you that we wouldn't be able to do all this kind of more fancy work.
Dr. Raza, that narrative was so smart and so proactive, just masterclass, really important content. I think listeners might care about this, so I want to pose this to you. We're about in our two-minute drill, which I can't believe, but I said at the beginning it was going to go fast, and it has. Can coronary artery disease be cured? In other words, can it only be treated, or can it actually be cured?
That's brilliant, and I get this question asked all the time. And to be honest with you, cure means it completely disappears. That's what people think. And once the coronary artery disease is there, it wouldn't disappear completely as of today's treatments. Now, in the future, there's a lot of newer technologies and newer medications coming in, and it's possible that we may be able to eliminate the disease. But at this point, the disease will not be eliminated. But if the disease does not progress any further, or if it doesn't get progression at the same degree as it was before, that's a big success. So, for example, if someone has a blockage in the heart, blood vessel, or coronary artery, let's say it's 10%, that 10% blockage will not impact that person's lifestyle or survival as far as stays 10% or 20%. So the goal is to make sure that blockage does not get worse than 10%. Now, could we eliminate from 10% to 0%? Probably not to 0%, but we can regress the plaque, which means by medications and by lifestyle modification, we may make that 10% blockage to 5%. It wouldn't go to 0%, but that's a big success. So to answer your question, it wouldn't disappear or eliminate. It will not be eliminated. but it could be contained. That patient can have a normal lifestyle as well as normal life expectancy.
Well, I so agree with you. I mean, just listening to that was so important, because if you can keep something at a level where you would not even feel
exactly
an issue, that's a win. As you said, that's a big win. Because if you didn't get the treatment, get the care that you were able to get through you and through Deborah Heart and Lung Center, then it's something that will progressively get worse. Then you're going to be out of breath, walking up a flight of steps and doing ordinary things that never used to faze you. Then you're talking about dramatic effect to the quality of life, what you're able to actually do.
100%.
Closing comment, anything you'd like to leave us with?
I think awareness, you're doing an amazing job to educate the community. This is a disease we can prevent, or we can contain it, so as you said, that it doesn't affect somebody's lifestyle and life expectancy. But get early attention, see your doctor in a timely fashion, and get treated. Don't ignore your symptoms.
Dr. Raza, thank you. I always love to spend time with you. A reminder to our listeners, especially if you're listening and hearing that this seems like he's talking directly to you and that you're dealing with these things, whether it's familial, from a heredity standpoint, and you're not feeling any symptoms right now, or in fact, if you are dealing with something and perhaps suffering in silence, Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. All you have to do is make the call, 609-621-2080. And you can do the same digitally on the website, demanddebora.org. Dr. Raza, outstanding clinic that you just put on. Amazing. And until we meet again.
Thank you, Harry. It was a pleasure.